Well, hello again. Welcome to TV Tuesday. This is TV Tuesday, where we present an episode of the Jack Benny Show that was presented on television. And you get a chance to hear it here, or you can watch it over on YouTube, and we'll have a link in the show notes that will take you to the YouTube channel where you can watch it and see us chat about it and see the actual episode. Or you can listen to it if you're in your car or whatever, and go ahead and listen. So anyway, without further ado, here is an episode of TV Tuesday.
Hit it, Phil.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no, it isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time. La-da-da-da.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I am joined here by Kathy Fuller-Seeley. Hey, Kathy. And got John Henderson here. And we've got Vincent Longo. We are here to chat today about Betty White as she passed last week, I guess. And right before her 100th birthday, so close, that they'd already recorded a special about her 100th birthday, which they are still going to air, I guess, which is great. I can't wait to see that. But I just thought we'd pick a couple shows out today to talk about. This one we'll talk about them both separately. But the first one I want to talk about was I found she was never on the Jack Benny Show, and I was trying to see if I could get her and Jack together, but couldn't find anything with her and Jack. But I did find that her own show that she had, which was, what was it called? A Date with the Angels, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And the Angels, their last name was Angel. So that's why it's A Date with the Angels. And it was about a married couple, kind of a I Love Lucy sort of knockoff in some ways, I guess. Anyway, a good show. And as her guest, she had Dennis Day on this particular one. And so since we're most of my folks that listen to my podcast are Jack Benny fans, I thought, well, that's a good one for us to do. And it was fun. I really loved seeing Dennis this way. It was not the Dennis we're used to. It wasn't the clueless Dennis sort of thing. It was a Dennis that seemed trying to come off as a professional and was singing. It was big into his singing and trying out his new song and that sort of thing. So part of it was sort of a Dennis sort of riff we're kind of used to, and then part of it was kind of different. So I like that. Anyway, and of course it was very early Betty White, which is charming. I guess we'll go into what you guys thought of it and what you guys think of Betty White, and I'll share some more about Betty White too as we go. Let's start out with Kathy. What did you think of this one?
Well, they said, thank you, Daryl. I'd not seen this show or any of her A Date with the Angels before. Yeah. And I'm so glad the whole world, or at least all of America, is celebrating Betty White's life, because she certainly was a congenial, spry, smart woman and actress who never put on airs. She just seemed so natural. And this program, I think, showed that, trying to sort of, although the show apparently tried to sort of shoehorn her into the ditzy wife formula, I think her own kind of naturalness sort of made it more than that. I loved this episode, just as you had said, because Dennis Day seemed so natural. And it's like someone, just like Betty White, someone you would like. And I didn't quite know what Dennis was like outside of his character, because I'd only ever seen him in Jack Benny associated things, where he has to, you know, put the little twist of I'm crazy Dennis Day on it. Mm-hmm. So that was lovely. And I hope his record did well. Although I guess this show was what, about 57, 58, 59? Do we know what year?
No, actually earlier than that. It was 54. Four, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, that really helps them, because I was thinking of kind of who the audience for his songs would be, because it seemed so kind of Perry Como, you know, sort of a middle of the road for an older audience and not a younger audience. So I said the whole thing was kind of delightful.
And who knows if they even released it, honestly, because so many in his, on Jack's show, he would always say, oh, I've got a new record that's out or whatever. And I don't think he really had those records out. I mean, he had some, certainly released some songs, but so often.
No, and record sales were just so slim back in those days. Yeah. Unless you were Frank Sinatra, that maybe he was putting out things, but kind of
Well, and I love the impressions he gave of different performers and things as he was doing that, and that was kind of fun, and that kind of showed you the time frame too of who was big at the time and so forth. Well, John, what did you think of it?
I thought it was a bit odd that Dennis Day was like a big celebrity. Because when I think of Dennis Day, I don't think of a big celebrity. Nobody knows who he is now, except, you know, us and people who listen and watched the Jack Benny Show. And he's certainly not the biggest star on the Jack Benny Show. So to think like, oh my goodness, I'm going to meet Dennis Day is a bit different. But I thought it was delightful and fun. And I liked the plot of the show. But most of all, it's interesting to see young Betty White.
Right.
When I was a kid, she was an old lady, and that was 25 years ago or whatever, right? And she's just, she kept that sweet old lady comedic thing going on. I watched Community a few years ago when that was a big thing, and she's got a part on that, which is pretty funny, and she's an even older lady. I never really watched The Golden Girls. A TV show about retired ladies didn't appeal to me when I was a child.
Right.
But I did watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And I've got the fourth season on DVD, and she's hilarious in that season. She sort of took the role that she's got here, the sort of sweet 50s housewife, and, you know, was able to turn that into a really funny comedy thing where she's, you know, it's a television station, and she's the host of like the Happy Homemaker. And she's sweet, giving recipes. And then off the air, she's like judgmental and passive aggressive to the extreme. But she does it in her sweet voice. So it's hilarious. And so, you know, it's interesting to have seen her, you know, 5 years ago when she's sort of like, found a new niche in comedy, mm-hmm. and see her in the middle in the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And then here at the beginning, when it's like the same sort of like sweetness, sort of a, you know, Shirley Temple stage two, only it's totally sincere here.
Yeah, I agree 100%. One thing that's really hit me with Betty White is so many folks sort of have like one character that they keep on asking them to play over and over again. With her, each one was fairly different from the other. I mean, they all had that thread going through them of this kind of a lovable piece that she always kept to her characters. But the Mary's character that she played on the Mary Tyler Moore Show was just really edgy and really, just the zingers she would throw at Mary were just great, and they really wrote her really well in that. And then of course in Golden Girls, her kind of completely ditzy, lost sort of character of all of them was probably the most different of any character she played, always talking about her home country and just what they would do there, and her Olaf, her previous lover, whatever. It was a very nuanced, fun portrayal that she gave in that. And then later years, through interviews, through her performances, they seemed like they were more a casting kind of who she was. I mean, sort of her own personality, which was fine too. So you got a lot of leeway. And then in this 1950s, like you're saying, it was straight up sincere, honest. She was a great salesperson, as you can see in this episode when she was talking about the cars and things. And I loved it when she was talking about the cars, and they're showing all the different models. It's like a huge commercial that they have in here. And then she's like, she's showing the convertible and saying, "Oh, that's the one I have." It's like, wow, okay. She's got the convertible they gave her, I assume. And then they drive off at the end of the show in that. I mean, it's so interesting with the 1950s shows, how often their commercials are so integrated into the show that you wouldn't see today at all. I mean, even with them driving away, like I say, in the car at the end and having the credits roll over, driving away.
Sure, that's so smart, Daryl, because they were still single sponsored.
Yeah,
we tend to imagine that all of television was the 30-second commercials, mm-hmm. but here is where early television was still radio with pictures, because of Plymouth had the whole thing with the dancers.
The dancers and the Busby Berkeley shot from the top almost. It was like, okay, wow. Vincent, what did you think?
Yeah, so I have two things. One, I'm going to give a little bit of background on the restaurant, and then the next I'll talk a little bit more about gender roles. So we have, obviously, Betty White, a legend unto herself, but we have another legend, another myth in this episode, which is the Brown Derby restaurant. I was unfamiliar with the Brown Derby. It sounded familiar to me. I study vaudeville, and so... the Brown Derby, it rung a bell to me because the Brown Derby name of the restaurant was originally a place in New York where vaudevillians hung out. It had no connection to the Brown Derby chain that came up in Los Angeles, but that's where they go. I think the episode, I don't know if it was official, but it might have been called the Brown Derby, but they didn't really mention it too much in the restaurant. So it must have been assumed that people knew of this place.
Right.
But, there's... The most famous location was literally like a brown hat. Mm-hmm. That's the one people know. But the one that's referenced in this restaurant was probably not that one. It was the other one, which was near the Hollywood studios, known as a place where stars would go, where mythical legends and deals would happen. It's also like has a lot of food lore. It's supposedly the place where the Shirley Temple was invented, much to Shirley Temple's dismay because she never drank them. The Cobb salad was supposedly created there. The owner's name was something like Bob Cobb, or I don't know, something Cobb was his last name. It's also the known place of like Haida Hopper hung out there. So this is really a Hollywood hotspot. So the fact that Betty White's character sees stars there regularly is not strange. And in fact, the people who she's with shouldn't be surprised that they are there. I mean, that's insinuated in some ways by the caricatures, but the fact that they're so surprised is kind of weird. The other thing is like when Liberace says hello, there's no way that her husband didn't hear somebody say hello, even if he's like, oh, nothing happened. Yeah. So, you know, there's some like stretches to get this going, but this is a mythical place. There's still, I think, the Brown Derby at Disney World or Disneyland, one of the two, which is modeled off of it. And it was actually MGM Casinos licensed it for a little while. So there was one in their Las Vegas location, and there was one in their Detroit location, not very far away from me, although that's gone now.
Now, those original locations you're talking about, they don't exist anymore, correct?
Yeah, there's no the Brown Derbies anymore at all. So it's gone. It's not, it will likely not be remembered forever like Betty White, or at least for a long time, other than maybe its Disney location, mm-hmm. which is sort of part of Disney's way of remembering old Hollywood. That's kind of they're sort of synonymous together. But yeah, this is a legend that we sort of see modeled here. I doubt it's the exact one.
Yeah.
We also see it in lots of shows. It's not just this show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Lucy has an episode that takes place there. I'm pretty darn sure that I've seen an episode of Lucy that takes place there.
It does, yeah. Yep.
And Jack, though he didn't, I don't know of one that he did on television, he did a number of them on his radio show where he'd supposedly be going to the Brown Derby and bump into somebody. The most famous being Eddie Cantor. You met, but before Eddie Cantor, that same exact episode with Eddie Cantor is done. identically pretty much with Jimmy Stewart, and the Jimmy Stewart one I just love. That I love Jimmy Stewart, and then having that piece, I mean, the my favorite line in that is Jimmy Stewart saying, I've been eating here for a half hour or whatever, and you've been here for 10 seconds, and in these 10 seconds, you've got more on me than I got in me in the half hour or whatever, because Jack was spilling everything on Jimmy Stewart. So it's a funny piece. That's a 51 episode of the Jack, no, 1950 episode of Jack Benny. But go ahead, John.
You know when it was sort of, I guess, went out of business? Because I also remember Kermit the Frog went there in Muppets Take Manhattan, and that's the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was the 80s is when it's they start demolishing the rest of them.
Yeah,
slowly, because it was always a chain in Los Angeles. I don't remember how many there were, like six or eight or something like that.
Yeah, interesting. But yeah, that, the history of that, that's one of the reasons, too, I chose this episode, because it was like, oh, Dennis Day, and it's in the Brown Derby. And I'm like, oh, that's lots of stuff for us to talk about. It's, yeah. And this was one of the best TV appearances of the Brown Derby that I've ever seen, in that they zoomed in on some of the pictures in the background. It just gave you more of a feel for what it was actually like there. A lot of the shows kind of have the pictures, but it doesn't really focus in on them. They seem smaller and things, so you don't really notice them. For a long time, I thought they had real photographs of the actors and things, which I think they did as well. But they definitely had the caricatures that they put up there. So that, just interesting place, interesting time in our history. The show, the Date with the Angels show, ran for two seasons, it looks like. And I think this was the second season. It might've been the first, I can't remember. But a whole bunch of them, if anybody's interested in following up and looking at more of these episodes, is at least 20 plus episodes on YouTube that people can watch. And so it was neat to find this one. I found this originally in lesser quality and picture and things, and then with one of those little bugs in the corner that would be there the whole time, and it was a little annoying. And then I found this one that was a much better copy, and so I turned you guys onto that so you guys could see that. I don't know anything else in this. Oh, I know one more thing I wanted to bring up was I love the part. Well, I love it and am ashamed by, and so I don't know how to deal with it, but where just the dynamic between the husband and wife, and where he comes home from work, takes off his coat and like hands it to it, and she takes it and folds it, or, and it just feels like, oh, that's your job, is to you know, do that. It's something you would never see on a show today. And there's a number of things. It just kind of felt that way. It felt like, well, he's the main breadwinner or whatever, and she's the homemaker, and so she's on a different level than he is. And I thought that was unfortunate in some ways. And the storyline itself is one we've seen on a million shows. Certainly this comes up on Lucy all the time, where she meets somebody famous and no one believes her, and that whole thing. And we've seen it on other people's shows as well. I don't know. What else we got for this one? Anything else that you guys want to mention?
So, Dara, you actually, yeah, you mentioned something that I want to talk about too, which is sort of the, in some ways, more stereotypical, typical gender roles here. But I do think that there's some complicating here that's interesting. You know, I think people today, certainly my generation, remember Betty White as unapologetic, sort of a trailblazer, you know, and as Kathy said, she's sort of shoehorned in here as a domestic wife role. And in many ways, she plays what we would expect. I mean, she's starstruck. She's sort of the idealized fan, you know, which was often gendered for women. You know, she gets to live out the fantasy of all fans, to be not only sung to, but the song is about her, it's to her, you know. She also is like not believed. You know, even at the end, she decides not to mention it, that she sees another star, because she still doesn't think she's going to be believed. But I do think that the most interesting part of this episode is actually where the fan stardom relationship gets switched. And it's when she sings for her husband, and he, and finally he does like believe her kind of, but he like sits there in like awe and like is really impressed and really seems genuinely excited and really in love with her and really sort of starstruck in the same way that she acted when she saw these stars. So I thought that was a really nice, you know, small nod to the fact that he isn't just this, you know, strong, tough guy who doesn't believe her, that there is, you know, this genuine connection on other things. So I really appreciated that moment.
Well, it was nice hearing her sing. I've never heard her sing before. And so I thought that was really
charming. Did you take it that it had been recorded? Was she lip syncing?
Oh, yeah.
I was a little, you know, that, but that's such a good
point, Vincent.
Well, it was really tough. I mean, just I thought maybe it was lip synced and maybe it was real, but I, you know, she did a great job. And Vincent, her name was first, so she was the top star on the show. So your point is a very good one that at least she gets that a little tiny bit of recognition.
Yeah. Can we talk about the ice water gag too? Because to me nowadays, if somebody says offers you ice water or water, that seems completely normal. But it clearly was not normal. By the way, there she's like, "Can I make you a sandwich? Can I get you coffee?" Like it doesn't seem. She's probably thinking like, "I'm not fulfilling my sort of housemaker role, right? That seems so simple." And in fact, everyone doesn't believe the story, largely in part because he asked for ice water, which doesn't seem to sort of complete this this relationship of when a guest comes over. I really thought that was very interesting and very funny.
I thought so too. I was just delighted with this episode overall. I mean, I thought it was fun with, like I say, the commercials in there, her singing, just seeing her young doing this. There was a lot here, and I enjoyed all the actors in it. I thought they all did a nice job, and it makes me want to go and watch more of these episodes because it's just a show that I've never seen before or been exposed to. And she had such a long career of various shows. I mean, she even has more than this. I mean, she has the I think a couple times she had shows called The Betty White Show that would be on. But I think people even referred to this show and others, you know, so often they refer to shows she's on as, "Oh, did you catch the Betty White Show?" Or did you get, you know, because she was the main draw in a lot of the shows she did. And then to go from that, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, how many actors can go from that to being part of an ensemble in the 70s where she's not the main character and she's not, it's not, there's no acting like, "Oh, Betty White is the main character here. This is a Mary Tyler Moore show that she's on," and be willing to do that. A lot of actors wouldn't be willing to do that. And yet she was. And then as Golden Girls, definitely part of a definite team of ensemble players as well. So just a neat career to expose people to, and just a delightful lady. And any interviews she ever gives are always fun and interesting. And anyway, but probably covered this one enough, unless someone has anything else to throw out there that for people to observe. But yeah, and spend some time with this episode. It is, like I say, fun, and it's fun to see all the different stars. At the end, spoiler alert, you can skip this part if you want, but actor Hugh O'Brien shows up. And Hugh O'Brien, when I saw him, I was like, "That's Hugh O'Brien, I think." And because I'd recognized him from being Wyatt Earp. And I love his album. This is so often the albums that they'd get there. Like anybody who's big, they'd sort of say, "Oh, we can make an album with you. Even if you can only talk, even if you can't sing, we can do this." So that's how you end up with the various albums by the Bonanza cast and so forth. For his, the fact it's called Wyatt Earp Sings or something like that, I thought that was great. I don't know if he ever really released that album or not. My guess would be he probably did release an album. But I think the most interesting thing about that whole sort of genre there is that somebody was able to actually come up with a number one song doing that sort of thing. Lauren Green had his song, what was the song called? Does anyone remember the Man, it's on the tip of my tongue. It was Ringo. I think it was called Ringo, and Ringo, the song was, it was like before that. It was like, I'm trying to think of the Beatles replaced it. It was very quickly to where the Beatles broke. And so it was when people were saying the music industry needed some help. And when you look at the year's worth of number one songs before the Beatles hit, they're all like pretty dicey songs. And you're going, really? That was a number one hit? And of course, his Ringo is, Ringo had two guns and he walked down the street and I saw him there and I could take him, I knew it. And this might be my day, my final day, or, you know. And the music playing dramatically in the background. It's like, oh man, a fun song to tune into. Yeah.
About the choice of celebrities on the show, I think I read somewhere that the production company that did Date with the Angels also produced the shows starring these other performers. So that was a kind of quid pro quo of they were already sort of on the set, you know, in the complex. Yep.
So often that was the case where either through the advertiser or through the network or whatever, they'd use their own stars to promote their own stars. And yeah, I can totally see that. And who knows, maybe Betty White showed up in an episode of Wyatt Earp at some point in the future too. You never know. But anyway, go ahead and enjoy this, folks. A fun episode, and we're sorry to lose Betty White, but we had a wonderful 99 years with her, and so blessed to have her. If you want to have some fun too, go through and on YouTube and just look at some of her interviews. They're all so interesting. So, all right. Well, and we'll see you guys next time. I have one more Betty White thing that we're going to do, and then we'll head off there. So let me hit my stop.
Have a Date with the Angel, starring Betty White, Bill Williams as Gus Angel, presented by Plymouth, star of The Forward Look, and the Plymouth Dealers of America.
The time, about 8 months after Vicky and Gus Angel were married. The characters, three strangers. The plot, truth is stranger than friction.
There'll be four of us, sir.
Good evening. How are you? Come in, please, this way.
Mr. and Mrs. Clemson are on their way over. Thank you. Aren't those caricatures great? There's Clark Gable.
Where?
Up out of your skin like that. He's up there.
Oh. Look, sweetie. There's Lana Turner. And there's William Frawley. And there's Alan Ladd. Tallulah Bankhead.
I didn't know you were so starstruck.
Me?
You?
Oh, don't be silly. I'm not at all, and you know it. I just think actors lead very interesting lives, that's all.
Sure you do.
Gus!
Huh?
There's Liberace!
Where is he?
Don't look. Don't look.
Honey, how can I see him if I don't look?
Well, just don't be obvious. They don't like to be stared at. Said, look up this wall to that beam as though you were looking at the pictures. Now follow the beam across. Down the other side. Hello.
Honey, will you tell me where he's sitting and never mind the radar?
He's getting up. Shh, don't look.
Hello, Tom. How are you? Hello. nice of him to say hello. He doesn't know me.
Who said hello?
Liberace. He probably thought he knew me from someplace.
Honey, I was sitting right here, and if he said hello to you, I'm Donald Duck. We're going to join the Angels. Here
they are. Wonderful, they're waiting for you.
Hello, sweetie.
Hi, kid. Yeah.
Did you get a place to park?
Finally made it.
Finally got in the night. Oh, I love
this. Yeah. Guess who just said hello to Vicky? Liberace, no less.
Vicky, did he really? Well, he must have thought I was somebody else.
He sure must have, because he said hello to somebody else.
They're all the same, Gus. Wilma claims that Clark Gable waved at her once at a benefit. She forgets that Clark Gable was on the stage and she was in the last row of the Hollywood Bowl.
I don't ask you to believe me.
We don't.
How do you do? I just ran out of gas in front of your house. Would you mind if I use your phone to call the auto club? I just ran out of gas in front of your house with... Did I say something offensive?
No, the phone. The phone's right over there.
Oh, thank you.
You are Dennis Day, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. You know, it's funny how things happen just when you're in the biggest hurry. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Yeah, the Auto Club. Mm. Hello, Auto Club. Say, this is Dennis Day. Dennis Day. Day, D-A-Y. Yeah, that's right. Look, I ran out of gas on Filbert Street. Would you send some... Oh, what's the address here, please?
1712 Filbert Road.
Oh, 1712 Filbert Road. Yeah, and will you please tell him to hurry? I'm due at a recording session in a half hour. Right. Thanks very much. Thank you very much, miss.
Mrs. Angel. Couldn't I fix you a cup of coffee or something? You have to wait anyway.
Well, gee, that's very nice of you. If it wouldn't be too much trouble, I'd like a nice glass of ice water.
Ice water? Yeah. Ice water? Couldn't I fix you a sandwich?
Oh, no. Ice water be fine. Thank you.
Just
ice water. Oh, thank you very much. Pretty thirsty. Hi.
Hi.
You seem a little nervous.
I guess I just can't get used to the idea of Dennis Day in my house. I'm afraid I'm one of your fans, Mr. Day.
Oh, don't be afraid of a thing like that. And incidentally, my fans call me Dennis.
Oh, no, really. I have almost all your records.
Yeah?
And I know all about your wife and Peggy and your five wonderful children.
Oh, Peggy's going to be glad to hear about the five kids. She thinks we have six.
I heard you say you were going to make a record. How do you go about picking a hit song, Mr. Day?
I say you'll never call me Dennis unless I call you...
Vicky.
Oh, Vicky. Well, to answer your question, Vicky, you know, I don't think anyone knows what really makes a hit record or a hit song or a hit anything for that matter.
I never thought of it that way.
No, really, it's true. You know, it's a strange thing about show business, but you can't figure out what the public is going to like. I mean, what they're going to accept. Take Billy Williams. You know, for years he's been singing, and he finally made it with his wonderful record of that old standard, I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'll make believe it came from you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter. Oh, yeah. And I'll make believe it came from you. Oh, yeah. Gonna make believe it came from you. Oh, no. Maybe the best way for me to get a hit might be to just, I don't know, change my style. Stop being so legit, you know, and just let myself go. Like, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready now. Go, cat, go, but don't you. You can do anything but lay off the loose suede shoes. Oh, go, I go, I go, cat, go, I go, I go, I go, cat, go, I go, I go, I go, I go. Oh, I got a seizure. Gee, I hope that fellow with the gas shows up pretty soon, because I'm sure to be late for the recording session.
Oh, I wish my husband were here to hear this. I know how busy you must be, Mr. Day. Where do you ever find time to learn new songs?
Well, I'll tell you, Vicky. You see, right now I'm up in Vegas, and the orchestra up there, they made a recording for me, you know, without any lyrics.
Well, what's the name of the song I want to buy out the minute it comes out?
Well, it's a ballad. It's called Smile at Me, and it... Hey, wait a minute. Vicky, would you listen to the song if I sang it for you?
Me?
I knew you would. Now, don't move. I'll be right back. I'll get the record.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you'll forgive me for stepping out of character for a really big moment, one I've been eagerly awaiting for weeks. For the many of you who have asked, what will the leader do next, I'm thrilled to present Plymouth's proud reply. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the moment.
Plymouth, star of the forward look, car with the forward look. Tomorrow's new car is Plymouth today. Plymouth, star of the forward look, car with the forward look. Plymouth leads in every way. So meet the star of the show, with brilliant new beauty revealed. Meet the star of the show. Star of all cars in the low price field is Plymouth.
The big, beautiful new Plymouth, and it's simply wonderful.
Star of the forward look.
This is the luxurious four-door sedan. Isn't the new grille beautiful? Everything about this new Plymouth is years ahead.
And this Plymouth Suburban is the biggest station wagon of them all. Designed for any kind of a job. It has more new, exclusive features than any other station wagon in the low-priced field. A wonderful car to own and drive.
And here's the new Plymouth convertible, just like mine. Never before has so much beauty and riding fun been built into any car. Just drive one.
Yes, sir. One look, one ride, and you'll agree. There's no catching Plymouth now.
Plymouth really is ahead for keeps.
Plymouth, car that's ahead for keeps. Car that's ahead for keeps. Plymouth, star of the forward line.
Now, look, the lyrics of this song are all about Paris, so why don't we just set a little mood, huh? You sit over here. Now, let's just imagine that over here is the left bank, here is the Seine, and you are sitting in a little cafe, a little sidewalk cafe. You are waiting for me. Oh, yes, the moon is shining. Voilà, see? Oh, you'll have to forget that you're married, Vicky. Nothing personal, of course, you know, but my wife wouldn't want me carrying on with a married woman. Anyway, here we go. Now, you are sitting at the sidewalk cafe. I approach. You are waiting for me. You see me approach. Allons avant de la batterie. Ah, you see me and you smile. No, no, you don't laugh. You smile.
When you smile at me, Paris soon becomes the lovely city it was meant to be. Smile at me, and when you hold my hand, touch my hand, winter rain becomes champagne, and I am in a wonderland. Hold my hand, hold my hand, but have a care. Paris loves her lovers, have a care, or you will discover romance that you never knew. Hear her sighing, sighing, fall in love, other loves surround you, look around you, fall in love too.
Did you follow it, Vicky?
Oh, that was just beautiful.
Oh, wonderful. Look, now, here are the words, and you sing it.
Oh, I'm not a singer.
Oh, well, so much the better. Now, when the music comes around again, you join in. Come on.
Oh, no.
Smile at me, Paris soon becomes the lovely city it was meant to be.
Smile at me,
and when you hold my hand,
touch my hand, winter rain becomes champagne, and I am in a wonderland.
Hold my hand, but have a care. Paris loves her lovers,
have a care,
or you will discover romance that you never knew. In love, other loves surround you, look around you,
and you'll fall in love,
fall in love.
Hey, you're wonderful. Who said you don't have a voice? Oh, gosh. Hey, listen, what'd you think of the song?
Oh, Dennis, I just love it.
Well, at least that's one record I'll sell.
Oh, here, you better take these.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Day was waiting for you. Mr. Day, Dennis.
Oh, I'll be right there. Gee, I'm awfully sorry to have to rush off like this, but, you know, I've got to do the record date and be back at Vegas for the dinner show.
Tonight?
Tonight. I tell you, it isn't no beer and Skittles in the show business. Sure, you didn't. And thanks for the ice water.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. Goodbye. And the man from the auto Opera Club came right after we sang the duet, and Dennis left not 5 minutes ago. He asked me to call him Dennis.
Sounds wonderful, sweetie.
Well, I thought you'd get kind of a kick out of it. And Wilma, he asked for a glass of ice water.
Vicky, dear, don't you think... Ice water!
Honey, you sound a little skeptical.
Oh, it's not that I'm skeptical, but I just wouldn't tell too many people, Vicky. The truth always sounds so...
Right there, huh? What happened after you gave him the ice water?
Well, we got talking about hit records. You know how you do. And he was doing some impersonations of people who've made big records. Oh, he was so cute, honey. I wish I could remember. He was standing right here. Oh, what ball of money? He's going to go. He said, "Ready, on, go, go, go." He was going. Oh, he was wonderful. He was.
Dennis Day did that?
Well, naturally, he did a little better, but... And then we sang a duet. Together.
I know what a duet is. Ice water?
Ice water? Gus, if I can't tell you something, whom can I tell?
Oh, honey, I believe you. After all, why would you make up a story like that?
Thank you, darling.
Let's keep the whole story just between the two of us, huh?
Why?
Oh, what I meant was, don't tell the neighbors. It's a little hard to believe that Dennis Day was here.
Special delivery for Mrs. Angel.
Oh, thank you. I thought you were my husband.
Anytime.
Freeway murder.
I'll bet it is. Did you have a nice day?
Ah, so-so. What's new with you?
Sabu stopped by to use the phone. His elephant blew a trunk.
That I believe.
Oh?
Oh, what?
I thought you believed what I told you about Dennis Day.
Honey, if you tell me he was here, that's good enough for me. Honey, let's get dinner over with before Wilma and George get here. And, sweetheart, don't tell him the story.
Gus, I won't tell him anything you don't want me to. Honey, Do you want to answer this or should I?
Not now, sweetheart. Wilma and George are... Dear Mrs. Angel, it just occurred to me that if I were not in show business and I came home from a hard day's work and my wife told me that Jimmy Durante stopped by and sang a duet with her, I'd hit her with a flounder. I'm sending you a rehearsal record so you can sing your husband the song and prove it. Thanks again for the ice water. Sincerely, Dennis Day. Then he was here.
Was there ever any doubt? Honey, listen to this. Now, you sit right there. Now, this is a song all about Paris, and you're in a little sidewalk cafe, and you're just sitting there waiting for me, and you're not married. Wait a minute. Come to think of it, yes, you are.
When you smile at me, smile at me, Paris soon becomes the lovely city it was meant to be. Smile at me, and when you hold my hand, touch my hand, Winter rain becomes champagne, and I am in a wonderland. Hold my hand, hold my hand. What have a care? Paris loves her lovers, have a care, or you will discover romance that you never knew. Fall in love, other loves surround you, look around you, and you'll fall in love, fall in love too.
Like it? Honey, if I could only... Wait till Wilma and George hear that.
Not only that, he did several imitations for Vicky.
Of what? A guy drinking ice water?
No, it was one of these. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and go, cat, go! Go, go, go!
I know what it is. Rudy Valley.
Suppose I can prove Dennis Day was here.
How?
Show him the letter, sweetheart.
What letter?
The one... Well, you got a letter today.
Honey, we were talking about Dennis Day. Now, it isn't very nice to change the subject. You looking for something, dear?
Honey, what'd you do with the record?
What record?
Honey, don't play games. They think I'm making up a big story.
I know exactly what they think. I'm sorry. Here, darling.
Wait, let me... Read this.
And he really was here, Vicky.
Oh, I told you. And they stood right there while they sang the duet. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Oh, no, Gus, not in front of people.
They're not people. They're Wilma and George.
I can't, honey.
When you smile at me, smile at me.
Wilma and George are late. That always happens when you take two cars. Enjoy the premiere?
Oh, honey, I just loved it. See, weren't you supposed to call Mr. Chase before 11:30?
Oh, my gosh, I forgot. Oh, sweetheart, have you got a dime?
Should have, didn't
I? I'll be right back.
Hey,
oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, that's dark.
I hope nothing's broken.
No, everything's fine, Mr. Wyatt. Mr. O'Brien. Sorry.
Will you just call me Hugh?
I know you hear this from everybody, but I think you have the best Western show on television.
Well, thank you kindly, ma'am. That's very nice of you.
Is that your new album?
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. Just made it my first try at singing.
Hugh O'Brien, TV's Wyatt Earp Sings. Wow.
Very subtle title.
I hear there are some wonderful songs in there.
Well, thank you very much.
My husband and I think you have the most beautiful voice.
Your husband? Well, it's really been a pleasure meeting you. I hope I see you again sometime.
Nice.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm.
The line was busy. I'll have to call back.
Oh, Gus, he even looks better without his boots.
What?
Honey, you'll never believe this. Oh, here comes.
Good evening, Gus. Better join the Angels again.
Oh, all right.
Well, George.
Hi.
All
right.
Glad you made it.
Sure. Ah. Thank you.
Happy now?
Never going to take two cars again. Never.
Oh, no.
Nothing but delay.
Nice to see you, Mr. Angel.
Thank you. Another reason we were late. Wilma's looking for movie stars.
Oh.
Didn't you see anybody?
Not at all.
Honey, what were you about to say?
I was going to say, you'll never believe this, but I'm not a bit hungry. And I'll have a New York steak on the dinner with a short cocktail.
Got a date with an angel, gonna meet her at 7. Got a date with an angel, and I'm on my way to heaven.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Plymouth dealer invites you to watch the Lawrence Welk program, Top Tunes and You Tell It, on this same network. Tom Kennedy speaking. Good night, everybody.